Hey, welcome to It's Just Life with mother-daughter combo Karen and Gia. In this podcast, we'll chat about the ups and downs of life here on planet Earth. Come along for the ride.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of It's Just Life. This is Karen, and I'm glad you're here with us today. If you've listened to our podcast before, you know that my daughter Gia and I share all sorts of stories of our own about our journeys as creative entrepreneurs, as spiritual seekers, as mother-daughter, and just the ups and downs that we experience on this crazy journey of life. So I'm glad you've joined us. This is episode number 11 of our podcast. So welcome.
Hi, everybody. It's Gia. It's good to be back on the podcast. I hope you're all doing well today. And today I wanted to update you on my workshop that I taught in Seattle. A couple podcasts ago, I mentioned that it was our podcast on failure. And my mom and I told the story about how we attempted to teach a self-love for women workshop in Los Angeles, and we both considered it a massive failure. And we talked about how to deal with that failure and how we both were kind of afraid to even do workshops after that experience. And I'm so happy to report that I successfully taught my first very own workshop last weekend in Seattle. And I live in San Diego, by the way, so it was actually just kind of a really cool divine manifestation that I could even teach something in a city that I don't live in. I had been desiring to go up to the Pacific Northwest, and I just got the idea, like, hey, why don't I try to teach a workshop while I'm there, and then I can make a little money on my vacation and consider it a business trip. And it all fell in place, and it was, like, pretty magical. So I wanted to kind of talk about the workshop. I am proud of myself that I did it, and there were plenty of people there. I pretty much filled up the room. But I did notice that it was hard for me to really stay present the whole time. I think I was a little nervous. It was my first time teaching this material, and I didn't feel, if this makes sense to anyone, I didn't really feel like I was in my body for a lot of it. Like, it was, I was kind of like spaced out, and it was hard to get my thoughts together and have my words be really eloquent and to the point. And so just reflecting on it later, I tried not to judge myself, but I just noticed how sometimes we can separate out our energy, and we have different voices and different voices in our heads that are carrying the conversation. And I was just noticing how I wasn't really able to bring all of myself into the moment at that workshop. And I know you've had a similar experience, right, Mom?
Yeah. It's interesting because we were talking about your experience in an earlier conversation. And just last week, I had the experience of recording. It was an audio presentation with slides that I created after the horrific massacre in Orlando. I kind of had a dream in the night that I needed to present some material in the form of slides with an audio overlay. And it's actually material that I'm writing about right now for the book that I'm writing. And so I just woke up in the middle of the night with this inspiration, like, I need to share this content right now. I need to do this. I need to create slides and, you know, dictate what I want to say about this, narrate it at least, and record it. And it felt so powerful to me. So I made all the slides. I started doing the recording, and then suddenly I felt like my tongue was tied and I couldn't think of the right words to say. And what happened for me is that I got a voice inside my head that was just arguing with me the entire time. And it was so loud, it was distracting me from trying to focus on the message I was trying to bring. And I kept listening to the voice, which was saying things like, you don't really know what you're talking about. You don't know this material that well. Why are you talking about this? And everyone is going to hate this. So many people are going to be mad at you for saying what you're saying. And part of what the message was that sometimes the equilibrium of our lives gets disrupted to create an opportunity for transcendence to occur. But that same opportunity can allow us to fall apart if we don't seize it and create transcendence from it. And so that's what I was talking about. But the whole time I was thinking, people are going to be so angry at you for saying this. And I found myself stumbling over my words and struggling at times to think of what to say next, which rarely happens to me these days. And so I was really fascinated by the voice in my head that was so powerful and so strong that day and really inhibiting me from getting the message across the way I wanted to.
Yeah, it's so interesting because I remember how inspired you were to create that video when you got the idea for it. And I felt the same way about this workshop. I had all this energy and inspiration for it. And then in the moment of delivery or performance, it was hard for both of us to completely express all of that energy and that light and that inspiration. And I know that we both kind of had some self-doubt in those moments of giving the workshop. I think we were both a little under-practiced and a little under-prepared because it was kind of new material for both of us that we were teaching.
Yes, definitely.
So I know that if we both had a little more practice, it'd be easier to quiet that part of the mind that is afraid of failing and afraid of looking stupid. But in my workshop, I made a mistake early on in the workshop. Like I had completely forgotten about one thing I was supposed to do, and I kind of had to go back and admit that I had messed it up. And I was a little embarrassed. I tried not to get down about it, but then it seemed like there was a recurring voice in my head that was like, you know what, you already screwed it up. And maybe these people don't even like this workshop. You know, just kind of some of those doubtful thoughts that we call the inner critic.
Yes.
So we wanted to talk today about the inner critic and how to deal with it.
And as you point out, that it's actually what happened for me was similar. I stumbled over a word or I misspoke about something at the very beginning of my narration. And that's actually what threw me off balance. And as you said, I wasn't confident enough about the material I was presenting that I could withstand the inner critic inside saying, you just screwed that up. I wasn't able to talk it down. And I think you're right. It takes confidence and a strength within ourselves, an inner strength, in order to drown out the voice of that inner critic.
Mm-hmm. Because really, the audience would have no idea that you're screwing it up or that you feel insecure about the information you're providing. If you were truly confident in bringing it forth, they would trust what you say because you have the energy of confidence about you. And so it's like those people weren't even really judging the material we were coming across with as much as they were feeling our insecurity, because we're all so intuitive and we're all so able to feel each other's energy. And so if anyone did, you know, have the inkling that maybe our transmission of the material wasn't as pure or as well said, it was probably just in our own fear that we were expressing that, because if we had been confident, even if we had no idea what we were talking about, I think they would have received it.
Well, in fact, as I think about it, I've actually listened to plenty of speakers who have supreme confidence, but who actually, I can tell, don't really know what they're talking about. They're not necessarily saying anything that's very deep or profound, and sometimes they're saying things that are frankly not true, but they have such amazing confidence in themselves that they just completely bring the entire audience along with them because of the way they are able to deliver the material.
I can think of one politician in the 2016 election who is pretty good at that.
Interesting. Yes, very interesting. So it is fascinating, that interplay between confidence, but you know, you and I both also, we it's extremely important to both of us that we present ourselves with integrity. That's one of our highest values. And so we always need to know that we are telling the truth. We're speaking our highest truth. And so we could never value being confident over the truth. We would always need to make sure what I'm saying is as truthful as I can possibly be. You know, I'm doing my very best to shine light and be as honest as I can be. And therefore, sometimes that honesty and integrity makes us feel more vulnerable instead of more confident, because we're really opening ourselves up and opening the door for criticism from other people.
Yeah, what you were just saying reminded me that the inner critic is always focused on you and looking like being afraid to look bad or being afraid of being judged and criticized. And so it provides all those thoughts for you to try to protect you. Like, hey, you kind of look like an idiot. You sound stupid. You don't know what you're talking about. You already screwed up. It's running that dialogue because it is deeply afraid of anyone thinking that or saying that. But all the focus is on you in that moment. And so I think one way to kind of handle the inner critic issue is to stop focusing on you and start focusing on your audience and what you want them to receive. Because it's not so much about you and how you look, it's way more about them and how they are being transformed. And in a way, if you can let go of the inner critic and the ego and the part of you that wants to look good, you become a much clearer and more pure and open channel to just pour through energy and information that the audience needs without you even really knowing it.
That's perfect. And, you know, as evidence of that, I have found when I'm writing, I have a much easier time just kind of keeping the inner critic in the background. But part of it is because I feel anonymous when I'm writing. I don't, you know, people are going to read these words on the paper, but they're not going to hear my voice or look at me or necessarily even associate me with what they're reading. And so you're exactly right. When I'm writing, I'm focused on the reader. Who will read this? What do they need to hear? How will this move them? Not on how will I look to them? So you're exactly right. That makes all the difference.
Yeah, I go through a lot of these same issues when I'm performing music because it very much seems like it's about me as a musician and performer because I'm the one on stage providing the music. People are listening to my voice. They're looking at me and my image. And it would seem like, wow, this is very much about people liking me and my music and my sound or not. It's so easy to take that personally. But I have had really good vocal teachers and coaches tell me you still have to let go of what people think of you or what you think they think of you because you probably have no idea. Let go. It's not about you, even though it very much seems like this performance is an assessment of you as a person. Instead, take the focus away from you and focus on how the audience is receiving the music and express each word with so much intention and really feel the music as it's coming through you and your voice so that the audience can receive the energy in the most pure form. So even that situation, I have found it's helpful to just stop focusing on you so much and focus on who you're giving it to.
Wow, that's really beautiful. And it reminds me of in a previous episode, we talked about the need to become hollow, like an instrument, so that we can channel the pure message from the universe and be better channels. So the more hollow we are inside, the better we can channel. But if we're thinking about ourselves and worrying about ourselves, it's as if we're clogging up the channel and not allowing that free flow of divine energy to come through us as easily. Therefore, once again, because we're thinking about ourselves, we're more likely to stumble, less likely to have the words and the music flow.
Exactly. I think that's so fascinating that a part of us that is trying to protect us, the inner critic, is so powerful that it could literally just It's like you said, we are an open channel, and then the inner critic, it's like it makes a kink in the pipeline, and we are prevented from even flowing with our words. Like, it's amazing to me that just that small, it could take one moment for the inner critic to turn on, and suddenly you shut down part of the energy, you close off part of the channel, and then you struggle to even speak.
Yeah, and ironically, it's as if the inner critic actually creates the very scenario that it's afraid of, that it's trying to warn you about. The inner critic creates that and causes it to happen.
Yeah, exactly. It's so tricky.
Yeah, it really is. And I realized that in the past, I think I tended to view my inner critic as some sort of enemy and as possibly some part of me, something coming from outside of me that was interfering with me. It took me time over the years to start to realize, wait, the inner critic is me. It's a part of me. And it's a part of me that for whatever reason, and here's one thing that just occurred to me, because your workshop in Seattle and because the video that I was trying to record were both pretty powerful messages, it occurs to me that that may be when the inner critic or our egos are even more resistant and fearful, because the message is powerful, because it's going to come out in a big way and could have a big impact on other people. So there's even more fear about putting it out there. And that really stirs up the inner critic and causes even more of that fear inside.
Yeah, especially when we identify with the material that we're teaching, like we believe in it or we consider it our creation, then it's so scary to put it out there and worry if people are going to like it or not, because we attach and identify with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have noticed that I've been getting better at performing music and not making it about me, but it takes a lot of practice. And I think that even with this workshop that I taught, if I could teach it a few more times, which I will, just getting into the repetition of the material helps quiet and silence the inner critic who's afraid you're going to forget something, who's afraid you're going to stumble on something. And by practicing and having more experience with it, you're able to have the inner critic so that you can be more present and trust yourself.
Yes, exactly. So you're right. Like, having enough practice with the material is kind of one of the fundamentals that I think we need to grasp, even as much as you and I both tend to channel, like, you know, spontaneously in the moment, we can produce something that just comes through us that can be amazing at times. There's no substitute for actually rehearsing and practicing and being prepared also when we're trying to put something out there.
Yep, that's so true. But I know that we're all experiencing the inner critic in our lives, you know, whether anyone out there who's listening is a performer or a teacher or not. I'd like to talk about maybe some ways that we can handle the inner critic just in our regular lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mentioned to you that in the past, I used to see the inner critic as something outside of myself. And at one point, a long time ago, a friend and I were doing some writing exercises together. And one of the things we needed to write about was the inner critic. And I wrote a little story spontaneously about going to meet my inner critic as if she was another person outside of me. So I went to her house to meet her and talk to her. And what I asked her was, why do you keep messing me up? Like, this is all your fault. Like, you keep ruining the things that I am trying to do. And you're creating the very things that you warn me not to do, you cause. And so I was kind of attacking my inner critic and asking this. And initially in the story, my inner critic was this combination of evil evil villainesses from Disney movies, you know, Ursula from The Little Mermaid and Cruella de Vil combined. And I was actually really afraid of her. She was frightening to me. But she seemed evil and ugly and horrible. But as I kept talking with her, she transformed into this beautiful, almost soft presence who just said to me, I am only here to help you become the best person that you can be. That's the only thing, that's the only thing, purpose that I have. That's the only reason I'm here. And suddenly I realized that maybe part of my problem with my inner critic is the way I interpret the messages that come from the inner, my inner critic, that I interpret everything that I hear in the most negative way possible, instead of interpreting it as a nudge to do a slightly better job next time, a nudge to practice that a little more, like, you know what, you could do that better, so why don't you work on that? And I realized some of it was just my own mindset and my own resistance to the very idea of having an inner critic.
Yeah, that's a really cool insight. And I like that you mentioned being able to take inner criticism or external criticism as constructive, helpful feedback. And I think that, again, brings it back to not taking it personally, like not making it about you as a person, and just you, like, putting your work or whatever this is outside of yourself so that you can look at it from a third perspective and say, yeah, that is helpful feedback. Like, I will take that advice and maybe change what I'm doing. Or being able to say, oh, that's an interesting perspective, but it's not really for me, and I'm going to let it go. To see things without emotion is really helpful, because then you're not just, like, avoiding anyone's feedback. Like, you never ask anyone if you liked, you know, if they like you, or if they liked your show, or if they liked what you did, because you're so afraid to hear anything. Mm-hmm. If you can get practice with taking feedback and not attaching to it emotionally, I think that's really helpful.
Yeah, and as you know about me, I have a really deep fear of any type of criticism, and including, in fact, I mean, I have been known to throw away feedback that I receive from conferences that I've done, you know, when they want to send, when they've done surveys, like, oh, here's what our, here's what the attendees said about your workshop, and I have thrown it away without even looking at it, because I was so afraid that I would read something critical that I wouldn't be able to handle, even when the person who sent it to me said, oh my gosh, we had overwhelming positive feedback about your workshop. I was so afraid that even if there were 10 positive comments, there might be one negative thing, and I was too frightened to read that, so I threw all of it away and never looked at it. And so that's been an issue for me for a long time, so it makes sense that my own inner critic I can't bear to listen to either. That's too threatening for me also.
Yeah. Wow, that's so powerful that they were trying to, like, encourage you, like, everyone loved the workshop, and we had a few people who said this. You know, it's so hard for us to accept that, but we have to remember that we cannot please everyone, and we can't have everyone like us. And I think that the most important person for you to be liked by is you. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, you don't know what anyone else is really thinking or what's going on in their lives, and it's actually none of your business. So whatever they think about you is their thing and has everything to do with them, their reality, their belief systems, what they're working on in life, and nothing to do with you. So if you can develop your own loving relationship with yourself, then I think it kind of dampens out everyone else's opinion of you, which is truly none of your business and doesn't even matter. And hopefully the feedback you receive can be just kind of a more of a logical, rational type of feedback than needing to be emotional and taken personally.
And actually, it just occurred to me, at least in my own case, if I look at myself, like my own inner critic is really just an opportunity for me to heal my oversensitivity to criticism. And like my own inner critic is just giving me a chance to say, hey, practice with this, practice with something going wrong and someone telling you that it wasn't right. Practice it inside within yourself. How do you listen to it and how do you hear it and how do you use it in a positive way without falling apart?
Yes, because when you're good at doing that with yourself, it's way easier to handle that situation when other people criticize you because you already have these tools. You already have this kind of like strength within to be able to handle the negative voices you hear, whether from within you or outside of you. And it reminds me of a story that I remember Matt Kahn, one of our spiritual teachers who we follow, he told a story about how when he was a child, he once had the experience of envisioning a very scary demon who was trying to get him and who was scaring him. And in the mind of a child, this is extremely real. And he said that it came to a point where he was staring the demon right in the face. And he said to the demon, what do you want from me? And the demon said, I want you to love me completely and fully. And so I think he realized that all these scary, dark, negative parts of ourselves are really just the parts of us that need to be loved and have, you know, the most compassion for. And that goes for the inner critic too. Like it's just a part of you that needs more love and more awareness to the parts of you that are afraid that you're not enough.
That's really beautiful. And it reminds me, I've shared this with you before, my friend Rose would always tell me what she would say when her inner critic would pop up. She would stop for a moment and say, thank you for sharing. And she would say that genuinely, like, I'm grateful that there's a part of me that's concerned about the quality of what I'm doing right now. I'm grateful for that and grateful that some part of me is looking out for that and watching over it. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for being there and for speaking up and for giving me guidance along the way. And I thought, wow, that's really powerful because that's accepting and giving love to that part of yourself and gratitude instead of resisting it and pushing it away and hating it.
Yeah, that reminds me of an exercise in the book, The Artist's Way, which is a book all about developing your creativity. And it totally talks about the inner critic in the book because when we're being creative and putting our art into the world, we very much face these fears within, these inner criticisms. And I remember she said to write a letter to your inner critic thanking it for all the ways in which it has helped you to grow, because your inner critic will challenge you whether to, you know, make a change or receive some feedback or simply to love yourself and accept yourself for who you are. So I think that's cool to view it as, you know, the ways in which you're grateful for the inner critic within and viewing like how has the inner critic actually helped you all along?
And so maybe the idea is not at all to try to silence the inner critic. It's not to get the inner critic to shut up. It's to actually turn around and say, oh, what do you have for me today? What are you saying? What's your message today? Is there something I need to receive from you? And can I just give you more love in return?
Yes, I love that. And when you were saying that, I had the vision of like, being more open and expansive when dealing with the inner critic, because sometimes I think we have the tendency to shut down when we hear those voices of negativity and fear and doubt. And when we shut down, we don't have the opportunity to look at the actual issue and see if there's any improvements that can be made or any constructive criticism to be taken away. And we don't have the chance to love ourselves and be present with all the parts of ourselves that might be afraid. So I encourage everyone to, instead of shrinking down and turning away from the inner critic and shutting it down, open yourself and open your heart to the inner critic and find out the deeper message behind the voices or the criticisms you're hearing, because it could be good constructive criticism, and it's definitely a part of you that needs your love and your compassion.
Mm-hmm. And your inner critic also might be strengthening you and helping you have tougher skin, because maybe you're being asked to go out into the world with a message that will get some negative feedback from some people. Maybe you're going out there with something powerful to say, and there will be people who won't like it and won't appreciate it. And you need to go into the world with strength and with enough confidence in yourself and thick enough skin that you can withstand anything that other people throw at you.
Yeah, totally. Well, I just thought sometimes I think it's good to be careful about listening to criticisms from others. For example, like YouTube comments. I think we have to be so careful whether we really want to spend time reading YouTube comments from people, from anonymous people on the internet. I had an experience of doing a yoga video with BuzzFeed, and BuzzFeed is massively popular online. I think the video I was in has like 1.8 million views. And my friend asked me one day, she was like, "Did you see the comments?" And I was like, "No, why?" And she was like, "Oh, you probably shouldn't read them." And I was like, "Damn it, now I have to." And I was just curious. And people just say the stupidest, most crude things on the internet because they're bored. And this is their way of just like lashing out because they're anonymous. They can say whatever they want. And so I think it's good to have caution and discernment about the type of feedback you receive. Is this a person you trust and love? Is this a person who you know has your best interests in mind? Or are they possibly trying to bring you down because they're threatened by you?
Mm-hmm. Totally. And the internet, in some ways, it is like a cesspool of negativity at times. It can be. And part of it is that it allows people to be anonymous and to not take responsibility for anything that they say and put out there. So I think you're right. We have to use our own discernment and not really open ourselves up to that, because there's plenty of legitimate constructive criticism in the world that we can learn from and gain from. We don't need to take on all of this really low level hateful negativity that's out there too.
Right. And I think that we can kind of trust what resonates within us. Like if somebody gives us feedback and it resonates, then we know, okay, that feels good to me. That feels right. And then maybe your own inner critic has the best constructive criticisms because it's the exact issues you're working on. Because usually if somebody has a criticism for you and it just bounces off like you never heard it in one ear, out the other, that's typically not something, if it doesn't strike a chord with you, either positive or negative, it's not something that you probably need to worry about. But the inner critic holds on to the emotions that you are struggling with. And so in a way, you can kind of trust your own voices within to show you where you need more love and where you need more guidance.
Mm. That's really perfect. And it also occurred to me, say in my situation, if I were to make an opening on a more regular basis for my inner critic to speak to me about some of the things I'm creating and putting out there in the world, then maybe the inner critic wouldn't need to shout at me when I'm in the middle of recording something. You know, maybe that was the only opportunity I gave my inner critic to speak up and the only time I was going to be listening or could hear it. And that maybe it's also important to be open at all times to hearing that voice inside and to allowing it enough space and respecting it and loving it enough that we can get feedback from it and not shove it into those moments when it can be the most disruptive to us, when we're trying to put a message out there to the world.
Yes, I think that's so true. Just try to stay open and present to all parts of yourself. Like, bring all the parts of yourself into the light. you know, any of the dark, shadowy parts of your mind and of your heart and of your subconscious, bring those all into the light and be present with yourself so that you can really learn more about yourself, get to know yourself better and find out what you're afraid of so that you can address it. And then I think there's much less interference, like you said, when we're trying to channel and teach and bring forth our most bright light into the world.
Exactly, because we're not repressing anything in the darkness or the shadow within us. We're allowing it all to come to light and come to the surface at all times. And so there really isn't anything that we're trying to hide from ourselves. We're willing to look at everything. And that's where shadow work becomes one of the most important parts of our spiritual practice as we're trying to grow.
Yeah, so important. So everybody, I hope that you will be even more compassionate and loving with yourself as you deal with your own inner critic. You know, maybe write your inner critic a little letter and just thank it for the ways in which it's helped you grow and see if you can glean any constructive feedback from what your inner critic had to say and bring all the parts of yourself into the light so that you can know yourself the best and love yourself deeply and be the most open channel to bring your light forth.
That's beautiful, Gia. I think that's the perfect way to end our little conversation for today with that idea. And I'm going to share your BuzzFeed video on the show notes if people are curious. Because it's a really funny video.
Take it lightly, everybody. I was acting.
Yes, she was acting.
And not how I am as a yoga teacher, so don't worry. I'm very gentle with beginners. It's called Men Try Yoga for the First Time.
Yeah.
And I specifically make them fail at poses because they're kind of cocky about, oh, yoga, it's so easy. But that's not how I really am. I was just acting. So anyways,
yeah,
enjoy it.
It's not a real yoga class or how it would really be. And I'll share an article on doing some shadow work that might be helpful too. So I'll put that on the show notes, which you can find at itsjustlifepodcast.com. And we want to thank you so much for joining our little It's Just Life community here. Thanks for listening to us and joining us each week, every Friday, on our new episodes.
Yep. Thanks for listening, guys. Can't wait to talk to you soon. Much love. Have a good one.
Yeah. Remember, we're always here for you. We love you, and we'll be back next week with some more of our crazy adventures.
Thanks for listening to It's Just Life podcast. Be sure to tune in to our weekly episodes, share them with your friends, and leave us a comment. Until next time, remember, it's just life.